The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. The Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In Mark chapter 8, right in the very middle of Mark's gospel, we run across these three episodes: the Pharisees demanding a sign, the disciples being confused about bread, and the healing of a blind man that takes Jesus 2 tries. It seems a bit strange. The Pharisees demand a sign. The thing to note here is that faith is needed. Faith in Jesus is needed. But the Pharisees don't have faith, and they don't want anything to do with faith in Jesus. How do we know this? Because they argue with Jesus, because they demand a sign from Jesus, and because they mimic Satan by putting Jesus to the test. They're tempting Jesus to be distracted from his mission and to abandon his mission. What they want is undeniable, unquestionable proof that Jesus really is the Son of God. There are, of course, times when our hearts and our minds would really love the same thing. We would love some sort of sign from God that blazes forth with such clarity and certainty that no one can deny it, least of all our family and friends who still question. The Pharisees, they say, "Prove it." But believe it? No, not until they see. Jesus began his ministry by saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." God's kingdom is certainly at hand in Jesus, but it's not always perfectly clear. It's not always perfectly obvious. Here are a few things from the Gospel of Mark. On the one hand, Jesus casts out unclean spirits. He forgives and heals a paralytic. And he feeds thousands with a few loaves and fish. Who can do those kind of things but God? On the other hand, These things also happen. Someone touches him, and he seems to not know who it is. We're told that he can't do miracles in his hometown. He falls asleep in a boat in the middle of a storm. Such things seem terribly human. And the people who know Jesus best, his family, seem to reject him, while those who may not know him all that well, like Joseph of Arimathea, embrace him. There seem to be, if not contradictions, at least tensions. Reasons to believe in him, certainly, and yet you can kind of understand why some refuse. Jesus doesn't give 100% visible proof. And all of that comes to a head on the cross. Consider what happens there. The chief priests and the scribes mock Jesus. They say, "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, that we may see and believe." But then the least likely, the Roman centurion, standing at the foot of the cross, believes the word and so sees Jesus clearly. He confesses, "This man was the Son of God." How can people looking at the same thing see it so differently? Only by faith. Nothing is so clearly seen that faith is not needed. We don't see and then believe, but rather we believe and then we see. Faith comes not by sight, but by taking Jesus at his word. Our faith will not come because God does some miracle to prove himself, but rather because we hear the word and we believe it. And those who reject Jesus will simply not see. And it continues. They spurn the greatest sign of all. You think they want a sign, a miracle to be done, but when Jesus rises from the dead, they still refuse. They refuse to see the depth of his love that drove him to the cross and then propelled him out of the grave. But it's not just the Pharisees who struggle to see. It seems like the disciples as well have a blindness or a deafness or a lack of understanding. It seems like they're not much different. Jesus warns them after this about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, about the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod, and they think that he's just talking about bread. They think that he's drawing attention to the fact that they only have one loaf, and they're really concerned about how far this one loaf is going to carry them through. That one lonely loaf of bread laying like a load on the shoulders of the disciples. They remember the lack of bread, but they forget the one who is with them. Jesus is concerned about more important things than just bread. He's concerned about a real danger to the disciples and to believers of our day. What is the leaven that Jesus warns them about? It's the teachings of the Pharisees that focus on human tradition rather than on the word of God. All those warnings we heard from Isaiah and from the Psalm today about offering sacrifices to God apart from faith. And the leaven of Herod is the leaven of sliding into sinfulness and wicked lives. But the disciples are so focused on the cares of this life, on the bread that they think they need for today. We struggle in the same way. Jesus is with us just as surely as he was with them, and yet our hearts are often weighed down by the concerns of our daily life, even the concerns of daily food. We suffer the same weakness. Why don't they understand? Jesus reminds them of what he's already done. Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Why are you thinking only about your stomach and your daily needs? Don't you yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? I feel like he could have just asked them once, but he does it again and again. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? 12, enough for the children of Israel. And 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they say, 7 for the 7 Gentile nations surrounding Israel. Do you not yet understand? They don't. And we might lose respect for the disciples, but Jesus sticks with them. He knows that they will not understand and they will not see on their own, but they require the saving action of God. And that brings us to the last part, this healing of the blind man in 2 stages. It seems like such a strange thing. I cannot think of another occasion in which Jesus does a miracle that doesn't seem to work the first time. Why would that be? Did Jesus make some mistake? The answer is, of course, no. Even here, Jesus is teaching them and teaching us something. Because the disciples are like the blind man who, on the first go-round, sees people, but they look like trees walking around. It's blurry and it's fuzzy, and he doesn't see clearly yet. That's where the disciples are. You might say that's where we are. We see, we get it, and yet we don't see, and we don't get it. We are still in some way blinded by sin. And then Jesus touches the man a second time, and now his eyes are opened, and he sees clearly. Our Lord renews creation, and he gives a picture of what is to come. The eyes of the blind will be opened, we were promised. And so they are, opened by the reign and rule of God. We are like that blind man in the middle still. Our eyes are, you might say, partially opened. We see our Lord by faith that he has created through his word, but we don't yet see him clearly face to face. But we will. We live by faith in our Lord. We repent of the sin of the Pharisees and the hardness of heart of the disciples. And by his word, he gives and strengthens our faith. He opens our eyes now that we might confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And he will open our eyes fully then when we are raised from the dead to see him face to face. May God, this Lenten season, strengthen our faith and renew our sight. In Jesus' name. Amen.